feet, 11 people get up to preach. You know you're not going to be home before tea. But we will stop for lunch. And so this morning, we're looking at the book of Ruth. It's only four chapters. And so what takes place here is reading the Word of God from the Message. And all I have rewritten it to put it into the first person. So each of these people have a part, and I'll introduce them to you in a minute. So the book of Ruth. The Bible frequently reminds us of occasions when God used a person to bring his love to one of his hurting people. We don't have to stretch our imaginations too far to sense the smile of God, assuring his hurting ones that they are loved and not forsaken, accepted and not abandoned. Naomi, a woman who'd lost everything, her home, her husband, her sons, and her status. She blamed God. She said, "The Almighty has made my life very bitter." And the Bible gives no hint that God rebuked Naomi. In fact, he gives her a treasure in Ruth. Ruth refused to abandon her embittered, bereaved, needy mother-in-law. She brought Naomi the steadfastness of God's persistent love. So as the story unfolds, we see God, through Ruth, gradually melts her heart and opens her eyes to his love. At the end of the story, God's love is evident in all who had a part to play. As I said, today we're going to listen to the scripture taken from the Message. Spoken, it's not acted. And please don't try to follow it in your Bibles, because it will be different unless you've got the Message. So just listen today. Now let me introduce our characters. Naomi. Orpha. Ruth. Representing the townspeople. Boaz, representing the harvesters. The foreman of the harvesters. Boaz's relative. Representing the elders. And representing the town's women. Thank you. So we begin. This is a true Bible story. It is not a Mills and Boone, though halfway through you could be forgiven for thinking that. Back in the days when judges led Israel, there was a famine in the land. A man named Elimelech from Bethlehem in Judah left his home to live in the country of Moab with his wife Naomi and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Elimelech died and Naomi was left with her two sons. The sons took Moabite wives named Orpha and Ruth. They lived in Moab for 10 years, but then Mahlon and Chilion died, And Naomi was left without either her husband or her sons. One day, Naomi got her life together. She, with her two daughters-in-law, left Moab and set out for Bethlehem in Judah, her old home. She'd heard that God had been pleased to visit his people and give them food. In other words, the famine was over. After a short while on the journey, Naomi spoke to her daughters-in-law.
Go back home and live with your mothers, and may God treat you as graciously as you treated your husbands and me. May God give each of you a new home and a new husband.
No, we're going with you and your people.
Go back, dear daughters. Why would you come with me? Do you suppose I still have sons in my womb who can become your future husbands? Go back, dear daughters, on your way, please. I'm too old to get a husband. Even if I said there's still hope, and this very night I got a man and had sons, can you imagine being satisfied to wait until they grown? Would you wait that long to get married again? No, dear daughters, this is a bitter pill for me to swallow, more bitter for me than you. God has dealt me a hard blow.
Both women cried. Orpha kisses her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth embraces her and holds on.
Look, your sister-in-law is going back home to live with her own people, and God go with her.
Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I go, and where you live, I'll live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'll die, and that's where I'll be buried. So help me God. Not even death is going to come between us.
When Naomi saw that Ruth had her heart set on going with her, she gave in. And the two of them travelled on together to Bethlehem. When they arrived there, the whole town was soon buzzing.
Is this really our Naomi? After all this time, back in town?
Don't call me Naomi, call me Bitter. The strong one has dealt me a bitter blow. I left here full of life, and God has brought me back with nothing but the clothes on my back. Why would you call me Naomi? God certainly doesn't. The strong one ruined me.
Naomi and Ruth arrived back in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. It so happened that Naomi had a relative by marriage, a man prominent and rich, connected with Elimelech's family. His name was Boaz. One day, Ruth, the Moabite foreigner, said to Naomi,
I'm going to work. I'm going out to glean among the sheaves, following after some harvester who will treat me kindly.
Oh, go ahead, dear daughter.
So she went and started gleaning in a field, following in the wake of the harvesters. Eventually, she ended up in the part of the field owned by Boaz. A little later, Boaz came out from Bethlehem, greeting his harvesters.
God be with you.
And God bless you.
Boaz asked his young servant, who was foreman over the farm hands,
Who is this young woman? Where did she come from?
That's the Moabite girl, the one who came from Moab with Naomi. She asked permission. Let me glean and gather among the sheaves are following after your harvesters. She's been at it steady ever since, from early morning till now, without a break.
Boaz speaks to Ruth.
Listen, my daughter. From now on, don't go to any other field to glean. Stay right here in this one, and stay close to my young women. Watch where they're harvesting and follow them, and don't worry about a thing. I've given orders to my servants not to harass you. When you get thirsty, feel free to go and drink from the water buckets that the servants have filled.
How does this happen? That you should pick me out and treat me kindly? Me, a foreigner?
I've heard all about you. About the way you treated your mother-in-law after the death of her husband. And how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth. And have come to live among a bunch of total strangers. God reward you well for what you've done. And with a generous bonus besides from God, to whom you've come seeking protection under his wings.
Oh, sir, such grace, such kindness, I don't deserve it. You've touched my heart, treated me like one of your own, and I don't even belong here.
At the lunch break.
Come over here, eat some bread, dip it in the wine.
Ruth joined the harvesters. Boaz passed the roasted grain to her. She ate her fill and even had some left over. When she got up to go back to work, Boaz ordered his servants.
Let her glean where there's still plenty of grain on the ground. Make it easy for her. Better still, pull some of the good stuff out and leave it to her for her to glean. Give her special treatment.
Ruth gleaned in the field till evening. When she threshed out what she had gathered, she ended up with nearly a sack full of barley. She gathered up her gleanings, went back to town, and showed her mother-in-law the results of her day's work. She also gave her the leftovers from her lunch.
So where did you glean today? Whose field? God bless whoever it was who took such good care of you.
The man with whom I worked today, his name was Boaz.
God bless that man. God hasn't quite walked out on us after all. He still loves us in bad times as well as good. That man, Ruth, is one of our circle of covenant redeemers, a close relative of ours.
Well, listen to this. He also told me, stick with my workers until my harvesting is finished.
That's wonderful, dear daughter. Do that. You'll be safe in the company of his young woman. No danger now of being raped in some stranger's field.
Ruth did just that. She stuck close to Boaz's young women, gleaning in the fields daily until both the barley and the wheat harvesting was finished. And she continued living with her mother-in-law.
Ruth, my dear daughter, isn't it about time I arranged a good home for you so you can have a happy life? And isn't Boaz our close relative, the one with whose young woman you've been working? Maybe it's time to make our move. Tonight is the night of Boaz's barley harvest at the threshing floor. Take a bath. Put on some perfume. Get all dressed up and go to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you're there until the party is well underway and he's had plenty of food and drink. When you see him slipping off to sleep, watch where he lies down and then go there. Lie at his feet and let him know that you are available to him for marriage. Then wait and see what he says. He'll tell you what to do.
If you say so, I'll do it, just as you've told me.
She went down to the threshing floor and put her mother-in-law's plan into action. Boaz had a good time eating and drinking his fill. He felt great. Then he went off to get some sleep, lying down at the end of a stack of barley. Ruth quietly followed. She lay down to signal her availability for marriage. In the middle of the night, the man was suddenly startled and sat up. Surprise! This woman asleep at his feet.
And who are you?
I'm Ruth, your maiden. Take me under your protecting wing. You're my close relative, you know, in the circle of covenant redeemers. You do have the right to marry me.
God bless you, my dear daughter. What a splendid expression of love. I mean, you could have had your pick of any of the young men around. And now, my dear daughter, don't you worry about a thing. I'll do all you could, want or ask. Everybody in town knows what a courageous woman you are. A real prize. You're right, I'm a close relative to you. But there is one even closer than I am. So stay the rest of the night. In the morning, if he wants to exercise his customary rights and responsibilities as the closest covenant redeemer, he'll have his chance. But if he isn't interested, as God lives, I'll do it. I go back to sleep until morning.
Ruth slept at his feet until dawn, but she got up while it was still dark, so she wouldn't be recognized.
No one must know that Ruth came to the threshing floor. Bring the shawl you're wearing, and spread it out.
So Ruth spread it out, and he poured it full of barley, 6 measures, and put it on her shoulders. Then she went back to town. When she came to her mother-in-law,
"And how did things go, my dear daughter?"
Ruth told her everything that the man had done for her, adding,
"And he gave me all this barley, 6 quarts. He told me, you can't go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law."
"Sit back and relax, my dear daughter, until we find out how things turn out. That man isn't going to fool around, mark my words. He's going to get everything wrapped up today."
Boaz went straight to the public square and took his place there. Before long, the closer relative mentioned earlier by Boaz strolled by.
"Step aside, old friend. Take a seat."
Boaz then gathered 10 of the town elders together and said,
"Sit down here with us. We've got some business to take care of. A piece of property that belonged to our relative Elimelech is being sold by his widow Naomi, who just returned from Moab. I thought you ought to know about it. Buy it back if you want. You can make it official in the presence of those sitting here and before the town elders. You have first redeeming rights. If you don't want it, tell me so, so I'll know where I stand. You're the first in line to do this, and I'm next after you."
All right.
"You realize, don't you, that when you buy the field from Naomi, you also get Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of our dead relative, along with the redeeming responsibility to have children with her, to carry on the family inheritance."
"Oh, I can't do that. I jeopardize my own family's inheritance. You go ahead and buy it. You can have my rights. I can't do it."
In olden times in Israel, that's how they handled official business regarding matters of property and inheritance. A man would take off his shoe and give it to the other person. This was the same as an official seal or personal guarantee. So when Boaz's redeemer relative said, "Go ahead and buy it," he signed the deal by pulling off his shoe. Boaz then addressed the elders and all the people in the town square that day.
"You are witnesses today that I have bought from Naomi everything that belonged to Elimelech and Kilion and Mahlon, including responsibility for Ruth, the foreigner, the widow of Mahlon. I'll take her as my wife and keep the name of the deceased alive, along with his inheritance. The memory and reputation of the deceased is not going to disappear out of this family or from this hometown. To all this, you are my witnesses this day."
"Yes, we are witnesses. May God make this woman who is coming into your household like Rachel and Leah, the two women who built the family of Israel. May God make you a pillar in Ephrathah and famous in Bethlehem. With the children God gives you from this young woman, may your family rival the family of Perez, the son Tamar bore to Judah."
Boaz married Ruth, and by God's gracious gift, she conceived and had a son.
"Blessed be God. He didn't leave you without family to carry on your life. May this baby grow up to be famous in Israel. He'll make you young again. He'll take care of you in old age. And this daughter-in-law who has brought him into the world and loves you so much, why, she's worth more than seven sons."
Naomi took the baby and held him in her arms, cuddling him, cooing over him, waiting on him hand and foot. The neighbourhood women started calling him Naomi's baby boy, but his real name was Obed, who became the father of Jesse, the father of David, who became king. Great story. What can we learn from it? Well, the first thing we notice is that Ruth was a Moabite, an outsider, a foreigner, and didn't know about Naomi's God, the God of the Israelites. Yet there must have been something about Naomi that drew her to God. Moabites had their own gods, so meeting the one true God would have been a life-changing experience for her. Listen to her words again. "Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go and live, I will go. Your people are my people. Your God is my God." There must have been something about Naomi in her earlier, happier years that drew an unbeliever to become a believer. Do people see in us something of the one true God that would draw them to him? Naomi. Naomi had lost her husband, two sons, and her status. No wonder she called herself bitter. She was a sad lady with no means of support. In that culture, those older women didn't go out to work. Naomi could only see the hopelessness of her immediate situation, all her losses. But God saw the big picture. A new start, full of hope. Aren't we like that sometimes when life deals us blows, feels hopeless? But then further down the track, God gives us hope. with a new start? Are we open to it? Boaz, what a wonderful, kind, caring, wise man. He redeems the situation. He gives Naomi and Ruth hope with a new start. That's a picture of what God does for each of us. When everything seems at its worst, God steps in and changes things. Not in our time, but in his time. The theologian Tom Wright says a significant verse in this story is verse 22 of chapter 1. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Remember, Naomi, Elimelech had left Bethlehem because of the famine. Now she returns and sees hope with the barley harvest. Food. The famine is over. When we look at the widowed, impoverished foreigner Ruth, the outsider, whose life turns out to be essential for telling the complete story of God's ways among us. The unassuming punchline, Boaz married Ruth. She had a son, Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David. Ruth, the foreign outsider widow, uprooted and obscure, turns out to be the great-grandmother of David and the ancestor of Jesus. That's the full story. The book of Ruth makes it possible for each of us to understand ourselves. However ordinary or an outsider we feel, we count. Every last one of us counts for God. And what we do counts. May God speak to us as we continue to ponder this wonderful story. As I pondered this story, thinking for a suitable song, there was just one that came to mind. He is my all in all, seems right at the crux of it. So we're going to stand and sing our last song, He is my all in all, just as he was for Ruth and Naomi.